Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Should TikTok be banned? These Maryland teens clearly say no.
I don't know why they'd be banning TikTok.
A healthy amount can really teach you a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things from TikTok.
China's not spying on us, and I love TikTok.
But in a hearing on Capitol Hill today, lawmakers aired concerns that the popular app could be used maliciously by the Chinese government.
Chairwoman Kathy McMorris-Rogers put it this way.
Your platform should be banned.
But CEO Shouzi Chu defended the platform and pledged improvements to alleviate the committee's concerns.
TikTok will remain a place for free expression and will not be manipulated by any government.
He also pledged transparency. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Former President Trump's been busy today on social media as a grand jury considers whether or not to indict him. Here's CBS's Michael George.
In one social media post Thursday, the former president wrote, "Everybody knows I'm 100% innocent, including Bragg, but he doesn't care." In a second post, he says, "This is no legal system. This is the Gestapo. This is Russia and China, but worse."
President Biden heads to Canada tonight. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy with his plan.
Aides say Mr. Biden will urge the Canadians to ramp up their defense spending to help fund a modernization of NORAD. Trudeau is expected to urge the president to do more about migrants crossing Canada's southern border, entering illegally from the U.S.
Transgender athletes won't be allowed to compete in international track and field competitions.
The action by the World Athletics Council follows a similar move by swimming's governing body last year. It applies to athletes who have transitioned from male to female and have also gone through male puberty. It will impact all international competitions, including the Olympics.
Men who transition to women have a high testosterone level. This is the important issue.
Olympic historian David Walachinsky, with that increased testosterone, a male who has transitioned to female is generally felt to have a competitive advantage over other female athletes. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
A 21-year-old member of the Navy is missing. WBBM-TV reporter Jermont Terry on the search in a Chicago suburb for Seamus Gray.
Investigators here in Waukegan are only calling this a missing persons case, but we do know Waukegan police, along with Gray's mother, spent much of today searching near this bar where he was drinking that night. They also searched along the lakefront with no luck.
Down to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA men's tournament. The wild ride continues tonight with UCLA playing Gonzaga. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A 15-year-old in Milwaukee is under arrest. It's connected to the mass shooting that killed another 15-year-old earlier this week. So-called conversion therapy will be allowed in Wisconsin until at least April of next year. The state Senate set a banned committee yesterday where it's not likely to get a vote this session. Conversion therapy critics say it doesn't make gay kids straight. In fact, it makes things worse.
People are going to continue to be allowed to screw people's lives, to increase the chance of them committing suicide, turning to drugs and alcohol, and having a miserable life. That's what we're doing today.
That's Democratic Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee. In sports, the Bucks beat San Antonio last night 130-94. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting news. If you've been wanting to try Viagra or Cialis, now's the perfect time. Call today and receive 90 little blue or little yellow pills for only $119 with free shipping. Why order some low-dose sildenafil from one of those subscription services when we can give you what you want now? Call 800-711-6818 and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? Call U.S. Pharmacy at 800-711-6818 for as little as only $119 for 90 pills. Need your package in a hurry? Call 800-711-6818 and ask about our express shipping option, and we'll rush your order to you as soon as possible. Save money on this little blue or yellow pill you've been wanting to try. Again, 800-711-6818 now. That's 800-711-6818.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Mate.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. I'm here with Ogama and Zoe, and we got some guests coming on. And Ogama, as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I should say this portion of the show is supported by MN350. They've been a really great organization and a longtime sponsor here at Native Roots Radio. So happy to have them as somebody supporting us. So today, Robert, we are talking about Prayer Ride 2023. And I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about that and our guest that will be coming on talking about that as well.
Right. And then later on, Robert Lilligren talking about some stuff that's happening all over here in the Twin Cities and Turtle Island. And I ran into Robert for a few moments at the Capitol a couple days ago. Great news for his organization. We'll be talking about that and some national things. Ogama, before we get going here, was I supposed to tell Zoe to say that this portion's brought to you by? Because I missed that. I think I missed that.
Oh, that's okay. I think we go with the flow. It's all good. I can save my own portion this time. That's okay.
Cool. And so one thing before you talk about the show a little bit before our guests come on, I just want to say that, you know, one of the most bizarre things that are happening in our country here, meaning the United States, Ogama, is, you know, we have the Republicans that are so anti-drag, trans, and all this, but they're not anti-guns in school. It's just wearing hard on me because I'm a former high school teacher, and I just wanted to say that to start out the program here, is that it's very upsetting that the other side of the table is really working smoke and mirrors with all these other things that don't matter, and we should really be taking care of some kind of gun control, or at least get the guns out of hands of people that should not have them. So I just had to say that in the top of the show.
You know, that is something we could do an entire show about, you know, common sense gun control. a week long saga about, you know, the problems with gun control and protecting our students and our young ones here in the U.S. and You know, what a lot of other countries are able to do that we just won't seem to implement here. So it's something that honestly, it's making me consider pulling my middle schooler and possibly sending her to online school or homeschool, because I just I'm worried for her safety.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the show. It looks like our guests are here, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to briefly mute them as they get set up. Today, we are talking about Prayer Horse Ride 2023, which is a coming together ride for healing, strength, awareness, prayer, and unity in honor and remembrance of journalist Myron Dewey, to bring awareness to Pihi Maha, also known as Thacker Pass, and the lithium mine that was just recently put through by the federal government into that sacred area, to bring awareness for our missing and murdered Indigenous women and people, and to bring awareness to sacred places, as well as protect Indigenous freedoms, and to bring awareness about a bombing range expansion at NAS Fallon. So tonight we have two wonderful guests, Josh Deeney from the Walker River Paiute Tribe and AIM Nevada member, alongside Gary McKinney from Duck Valley, who's also an AIM Nevada member. Welcome to you both. I'm going to unmute you if you're ready to speak, and let us know where you're at, where the ride started.
Hey, I just want to jump in, Ogama, real quick, and now I'm going to cough. Is that I just want to say, when I went to Standing Rock, the four or five times that I went out there, the first person I met was Myron, and he handed me didn't just hand me, but I had to fill out some paperwork to get a media pass at Standing Rock. So our hearts are out with the family and you guys. So welcome again to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Oh, thank you for having us on. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's our honor too. It's our honor too.
Coming to you from the outlaw Nevada Paiute territory. I come from Duck Valley. With me today is Joshua Deeney. I want to share some space with the brother and allow him to explain a little bit about the horse ride and where the vision comes from.
From Manahu, Joshua Deeney. I'm from the Walk River Paiute Tribe. Myron Dewey was my older brother, and we had many talks of this vision of our people. And, you know, we were in Standing Rock together. We did other land protection, food. You know, we protected our food source that was being cut down. And so my brother and I would always talk about how we would bring our communities together and, you know, how we could stand together. And so the vision kind of came from, or the idea kind of came from the Dakota 38 with the horses. Our original ways is running. That's how we got our messages across, was running from tribe to tribe. But we want to do something with the horses because as we evolved, we became, you know, very good horsemen, horse people. So my brother passed away 2021. And in honor of him, I wanted to continue that vision that we'd always talked about. And so we did our first prayer ride last year, last May. And our Paiute people are known as is known for the ghost dance. Our prophet Wovoka came from our area. We've always talked about our sacred sites and how nobody stands for them and protects the sacred site and our medicines and, you know, our tradition and our culture. And so we talked about those ways of how our prophet Wovoka was going around and he had of the ghost dance, so bringing people together so they could stand strong and take those sacred sites and This is our second year. It's very, very amazing to see all the people that are here. I'm very proud. I know my brother is really proud. And got a train coming. Sorry.
I thank
everybody that's out there.
I'm gonna pop you on mute for a minute till that train passes, and we'll talk a little bit about, the legacy of Myron Dewey, who's somebody, I unfortunately didn't get to meet your brother in person before he passed, but I know what he stood for, and some of the things that so many people credit Myron Dewey with, the reason that they do the work that they do. And I think that that is so important to recognize as well. You know, that legacy that he left for us is so many people doing that work.
Hey, Ogama, why don't we take a break here in a couple seconds here, and then we'll get back to these warriors and talk more. And we can get you to set up some of the things that they said if our listening audience didn't hear. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line light rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Ogama, we got some guests here, some real true warriors out here doing a good thing. Let's get them back on the air, and maybe you can reintroduce them now.
Get in the driver's seat, John.
Okay. Now you're muted, Ogama.
That's the kind of day we're having. Today we have John Dini from the Walker River Paiute Tribe and member of AIM Nevada, as alongside Gary McKinney from Duck Valley and also an AIM Nevada member. And these two gentlemen have organized a prayer ride for 2023, a horse ride going through kind of the Southwest through Nevada. And this ride is in remembrance of Myron Dewey, but also to bring awareness to Pihi Maha, also known as Thacker Pass, which has been the site of an ongoing battle for protecting of sacred space against a lithium mine that the federal government unfortunately did not honor, and that mine has begun construction, which is just deeply hurtful. So welcome back, Josh and Gary. And if you don't mind letting our guests know where your ride started and where you're going to, how many miles is this?
Yeah, the ride started on my reservation, the Sears Walker River Paiute Tribe. We're hitting 6-7 communities in between. It's a 230-mile ride. And this ride is to bring awareness of the issues that we're facing here in Nevada. I'm not going to elaborate on the Pima, that's Brother Gary's piece there, but I will mention about the bomber range expansion, which it's known for, it's known as Top Gun Naval Air Station. Our tribe already agreed with the proposal. Our tribe was received money and land. Land amount was $8,375. The expansion of what they are now, what they are at now, is 535 acres more airspace and land space. I believe that this is the reason why my brother was killed, because the last live that he did was he was talking about the bombing range expansion and bringing them out, all the issues that was occurring. And so, you know, as a tribe, we face many issues because of our constitution and their loopholes that we have. And so our issue with us is the consultation that we have. You know, the companies that come in and they say they talk with one council member or one tribal member, and that's all they need to move forward with these mining or expansions or whatever they got going on, and they want to fast track it, so they, you know, don't consult with the community, which I feel that, you know, is very important, because a lot of people in our community knows the significant sites of our land, where those sacred sites are at, and, you know, the medicines and, you know, how we harvest them. And I just want to thank you guys for having us on, and that's my piece. And just thank you for your support.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate, if I can, really quickly, too, for some of our guests. Myron Dewey passed away in 2021 in a tragic accident, in a vehicle accident near Yamba, Nevada, and he was just 49. And there have been people who have called some attention to, you know, some of the supposed facts around his death, and what he was covering was that bombing range expansion. And you were alone by any means in your suspicions on that. And I didn't know Myron, but I knew what he was doing at that time, and I personally have my own suspicions. And you know, there's that danger when you're a Native person and you're a media person on top of it, depending on whose feathers you ruffle, what could happen. So Gary, if you wanted to share a little bit more about Pihi Maha, I think that's what you were going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having us on. The Pihi Maha, you know, first I'm going to introduce myself for those who don't know what's going on with the Thacker Pass thing. I'll briefly get into that. My name is Gary McKinney. I'm from the Duck Valley Shoshone Paiute Tribe. My mom is from the Fort McDermitt Paiute Shoshone Tribe. And our tribes, the Duck Valley and the McDermott tribe, we share a lot of the same history, a lot of the same sites. And it was only until the colonized times that, you know, we were set in boundaries and we were set inside these reservations. And ever since then, you know, we've been having this issue with being talked down to in a way, you know, and with this stack of past thing, you know, from experiences that, you know, us as indigenous tribes need to be aware about what these foreign mining companies are up to. And we bring that information in a good way through this prayer and through each other and through unity and awareness. You know, we can no longer say that we never knew what was going on, because one thing that I've seen is that, you know, these extractive industries love to single out the tribes. And we've seen that happen with the Thacker Pass and the Fort McDermott Paiute Shoshone. And, you know, all of us are in solidarity with many of these movements, many of these prayer circles around Turtle Island, and we're one of many. And with this Pihimaha thing, to get into the history, you know, the Pihimaha roughly translates to Rotten Moon, and it's part of an intertribal conflict. But then in the lawsuit, you hear in the papers, you'll see in the news about the September 12th, 1865 massacre, and the history that will describe is where our history meets the colonized history, with Wells Fargo Company and our tribes and our reservations. And there was a split. And earlier, you know, we heard a train come behind us, and that's part of our, where that transition happened, you know. And back then, that issue was that, you know, our tribes didn't have a lot of options, and the people back east, you know, they're the ones who come out here thinking that, you know, they know what's best for the tribes. But as people, as community members, you know, we need to make each other aware. And in these times, you know, the vision that the brother Myron had and his brother Josh, you know, is something that goes back generations, to where we had runners. We had runners that went from village to village to go spread that message that, hey, you know, there's something coming, be aware. And so after that split, after the reservation, all that stuff, you know, those things were no longer allowed. And we were given little things, you know, in return. But, you know, dude, we need to know our rights. We need to know these things that are out there. You know, we need to be aware. And in this way, we're walking in those footsteps that our ancestors walked, you know, and we want to carry this forward, sort of like, you know, let me tell you about my dreams, not my nightmares. And so right now is we're in the point where it's all about the youth, and it's all about spreading that message to our young people. And how we're gonna take a stance against these extraction industries, because us as Native people, as caretakers of the land, it's our responsibility to look after those things, and those are our instructions. Those are the teachings that we carry, and it's an honor to be in this circle that we're in today, because there's a lot that you know, we have young people, we have our elders, and we have our runners, and today. Today is a good day, because, you know, we started out, it was snowing and it was windy, but once we got out to where we were going to start running, you know, it opened up and it turned blue skies. And yeah, so right now that's where we're at. That's a little bit about the Pihimaha and anything else. Just ask.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're closing in on just the last minute of this segment, and I wanted to take a moment, too, to let people know that you can follow Prayer Horse Ride 2023 on social media, on Facebook. They're live now for their day six with an update, and they've got really great drone footage of the runners and the horses and the group as they are carrying on through the cold and the wind and the snow in Nevada. And, you know, our prayers are with you, and Oak Flat, and all of the things that you were there and standing for. We have many similar fights all over the nation. Here in Minnesota, the Ojibwe and Dakota have similar fights. So, Miigwech, for you for joining us, and we hope to get an update when you arrive at Pemaha.
I'd like to mention one more thing, if I can. I just want to let everybody know that, we're having a pre-trial for my brother's court April 11th. It's going to be at the Tonopah District Court. And I encourage everybody to call in and get on the Zoom and show the support. The man that had killed my brother.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The CEO of TikTok says they're making improvements to the popular app. Shouzi Chu on Capitol Hill today.
We will keep safety, particularly for teenagers, as a top priority for us.
One of former President Trump's lawyers must testify in the classified document investigation, CBS's Robert Costa.
Corcoran could appear before the grand jury as soon as Friday and must also share any relevant evidence, including documents and private audio files.
Still no word if a New York grand jury will indict former President Trump in connection with another investigation into a hush money payment in 2016. March Madness continues tonight. CBS sports writer David Cobb on the big game between UCLA and Gonzaga.
UCLA has got some injury issues, so they can't go quite as deep into their bench as they would normally like. But this should be a phenomenal game. Two great teams, two excellent coaches. And the fact that they played such a classic 2 years ago only adds to the intrigue.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantmayer. Here's what you need to know. The fines for reckless driving are about to double in Wisconsin. The Assembly passing a bill Wednesday that now goes to the governor. Currently, the highest fine is $200. This bill will increase it to $400. Lawmakers also approving a measure to make it easier to take cars away from reckless drivers. Governor Evers says he'll sign both. Wisconsin State Senate want the governor to hold a special election for Secretary of State. The resolution passed Wednesday now goes to the Assembly. Doug LaFollette resigned from the post last week. The governor appointed former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski to the position. GOP Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue says, quote, the voters of Wisconsin deserve to have their voices heard, unquote. Democrat Kelda Roy says it's refreshing to hear Republicans say voters should have a say because that would mean fair maps. I'm Jane Mantmayer. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Leaves ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Dine in at the restaurant off Victoria and Grand at St. Paul or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Hey, what a coincidence. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilgren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, welcome. I saw you at the Capitol. Things are happening. Yeah. A lot of excitement. Great to have you on. Maybe we can start out and talk a little bit about that and then talk some national politics after that, maybe in the next segment. Welcome.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert, bonjour, comment, so good to be here. It seems like it's been a while. You've had so much going on. It's been really rich programming here. And so I guess you had to go a little deeper on the bench tonight with me.
Yeah. Well, you're always our, I always enjoy, and I know people listen to our conversations and, you know, We are excited to have you here and really excited about what's happening here in Minnesota with the 16 organizations and
right
our own Mary Kunis.
Oh, yeah, Senator Kunis. Yeah, so you're talking about that what we call the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, or UILIULE, and it's a very collaborative and sort of indigenized way of 16 organizations coming together to seek significant capital investments into our facilities here in the urban Indian community. And, you know, we've been around since many of these were founded by what I call our founders, the sort of founders of AIM generation, and they're old. A lot of them were never buildings that were in great shape. They're leaky, they're dangerous in some cases. And so we're trying to attract sufficient capital investment from the state in our facilities, and it's been really a trip. And it was great seeing you at the rally on the Capitol. I thought that went really well. And Robert, were you there for the press conference earlier in the day as well?
No, I was running around doing some lobbying myself, as you know, so before that. But no, but I heard it was great, and I saw the preview of that, and
Yeah, it was great. There was a lot of media interest, and it's just an example of a couple of things that I think are really positive about the community here. And one of them is that it's Native driven, right? This is us steering our narrative and us being clear about what we want and what we need from our state legislature. The collaborative nature of this is really amazing. And this is our second time around bringing these asks to the Capitol, and this effort builds on, I'd say about a decade now, of real intention amongst the urban Indian orgs here in the Twin Cities to kind of throw off that yoke of colonization that encourages us to view each other as competitors, you know, and distrustful, and to really join together in an indigenous way and support each other. And so last time we came, we had prioritized our projects. We made the strategic decision this time around, this session, not to do that. And it's, you know, we're taking this sort of all or nothing approach. And the attitude is we're not going to let the legislature divide us, you know. And right. So we've been holding strong in the conversation amongst the organizations is amazing as we try to figure out how not to get picked off one by one and things like that. And I just really want to thank a couple of younger emerging leaders, or they're not really emerging anymore, but Dr. Joe Hobot of the American Indian OIC, right here on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis, and then Marissa Cummings at the Minnesota Indians Resource Center. And she's the chair of our Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, our regional leadership organization. They and some of the other Native leaders here have just really been putting their shoulder, their nose to the grindstone and getting people, just keeping us moving. It's just amazing to see. What did you think of the rally, Robert?
I love the rally. You know, one of the things, we played the governor's speech, and him and the lieutenant governor I can't believe how well of speakers they are without any cards or anything. He spoke for 6 minutes, mm-hmm. and he hit almost every point, you know. And I thought that was amazing.
It is amazing. And I really was impressed by the two young speakers at the rally that spoke about their own experience with all of these organizations, the impact that these organizations had on them and their families. And it was just, they were great. They were, it just really does my heart well when I see young emerging voices like that in our community.
Absolutely. And one of the points that I always like to hear, and that's the way it should be, is one of the young warriors that spoke, she spoke about getting help from these organizations, and now she's working for one of the organizations, you know, 10 years later.
Right. I thought that was really something. And, you know, when we're talking about the impacts of colonization, forced assimilation, genocide, it's not something that you can fix in a day, right? It's something that might take a generation to fix or something. And I thought that young sister's story was so powerful. And she talked about her experience as a little girl.
Right.
When a house fire rendered their family homeless. I think they had benefited from maybe half a dozen of the organizations she referenced, and things like job training and job placement and all these other sort of asset-based approaches. It was really impressive. And now she's working for one of the orgs. And I just thought that's that generational kind of cadence that really brings me hope. And I connected with her afterward. I've never met her before. And so I was really happy to meet her, look forward to supporting her, promoting her. She was quite a speaker.
Yeah, we'll have to get her on, because what's really fun is I've known her as a younger person, kind of at powwows, and always say hi and kind of joke around. But then, and I ate lunch too with her prior to the 1 o'clock meeting. And we were just, you know, joking around. And it's just like, next thing I know, she's up there, you know, talking to hundreds and hundreds of people about her life experience. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yep, and talking beautifully, both those young speakers. The second brother, I think he was from Red Lake, and I think his remarks were very powerful. And he told his story, and then was really open and upfront about his journey away from, you know, a journey to sobriety.
Right,
and I thought that was really, really something, and that he's. And then he talked about what he does for a living now, where he is a peer support specialist.
Right.
Helping others on their recovery, their roads to recovery. And he talked about how that reinforces his own sobriety, which I thought was really profound. And that you could just hear in his voice how proud he was of the work that he's doing. And that really moved me too.
The longer you... give it away to keep it, the longer you'll stay sober. And it was good to hear him say that, and you could feel it in his words. And it's cool too, because he's more able to help somebody that's struggling right now than somebody like me with 38 years of sobriety. I mean, people can see 5 years or talk to a young person, right. How did you do it? And it's like, oh, you're old. You probably didn't have you drink too much cough syrup or something, you know.
But, your point is well taken. Then the very next day, I was in a regular community meeting we have planning, putting strategies together to support our relatives who are living unsheltered, living without shelter, and who are struggling with opioid use. This is a meeting that's been after 3 years, continuously through COVID and everything. And we work on short-term, mid-term, long-term strategies. And we had someone from a huge healthcare provider here who's putting together a pilot project funded by the state health department. And they need that direct community interface. So they really found it in this group that we have meeting. But one of the big things that lifted up, again, they're doing it at White Earth Urban Office, is this peer support and peer navigation. Wow. And just how important that is. And as we know, a Native person is going to respond so much better to another Native.
You know, or a Native ally too, because when Wendy worked in at the University of Minnesota, and I just got to tell this story for her, and I think you probably even heard it, is that, you know, she would have somebody come in that just found out they had some problems going on, and she would ask them what nation they were with, and then they kind of perked up, and then she would say, my husband's Ho-Chunk, and it knocked down a lot of walls. But to see somebody that looks like you is an amazing thing for knocking walls down.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, referenced the governor's speech and talking for 6 minutes, and he hit all the right points, like you said. But then also sort of outside of that, that ecosystem, you know, he's really pushing things to the national dialogue, and with this trifecta of Democrats that control our state, both our houses and our governor's office, those guys are tearing it up. And they're governing for efficiency and always lifting up these, what Democratic leadership can do for lives in a state. And Michigan's kind of moving into that. And then as we move into 2024, that's going to be powerful messages.
You know, the other message too is what they were saying about that people are watching us in Minnesota and what we're doing. And I think you're kind of alluding to that, but that was powerful. That was said a few times during the day.
And if you look generationally, right back to the founders, the founding of AIM, the founding of our agencies, the real establishment of a fairly visible urban Indian community here. And so now what do we do? And so we were leading, you know, in activism and advocacy. And so now sort of next gen, right, we're getting into the systems, infiltrating, changing the rules to benefit us more. And I agree that not a lot of this is happening in other communities, some is, but in the urban community, there are just specific challenges to getting this kind of unity and collaboration.
Exactly. Hey, Robert, we got another segment with you, and we'll be talking. Well, we can finish up on this because there's a lot more to talk about. Exciting, hearing the drum, and hearing Clyde Belcourt's name again, and his son was there. Just a lot of great things that happened. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. We'll be right back. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the Voter Protection Hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I noticed you took your glasses off to howl, Robert. That was very sacred. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren of Native American, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, Minneapolis, and on the Native Corridor in Minneapolis, discussing the great things and the momentum that the urban initiative here has going on, named after Clyde Belcourt. And it's a long time coming, and it's a good thing. And it was really good to hear from Clyde's son, too.
Agreed. That was really meaningful. So that, you know, here we've been looking for different ways to honor Clyde Belcourt, his wife Peggy, who both walked on fairly recently. And there's been a lot going on, and there's still a lot of conversation about ways to make sure that we're honoring Clyde, Peggy, and really this whole founding generation. But the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative is named for Clyde Belcourt. So it's the Clyde Belcourt Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. And then his son was there to speak, and it was so powerful and very emotional. It was very emotional because it wasn't that long ago that Clyde walked on, and so it's still right. Very, very fresh. But that generational through line, I think it's so important to lift up.
Yeah, really, and it's really good. And we were talking about before the last segment ending how important it is to have the drum there and our singers, that gets emotional, but for many different reasons for many different people.
Right. And, you know, so I have this place that I always park when I go to the Capitol. It's a little bit of a ways away, so you're a few steps in, but it's always been my kind of spot. And so as I was walking toward the Capitol, I could hear that drum from blocks and blocks away. And it's just like, yeah, I'm coming. It was like calling me, and I'm sure lots of others. It was out in the sort of, what do you call those, porticos or whatever, the entry part of the Capitol. Our Capitol is gorgeous and huge. Right. So there's this big open space, and the sound was just blasting out over the mall, and it was moving.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on at the Capitol too that has to do with Native Americans directly or indirectly too, and that's been exciting to see. Whether it's the new bill for our own Minnesota ICWA bill that was passed, which is huge, especially with the scary stuff with the Supreme Court coming, Robert.
Right. I think that, so it's putting ICWA protections in place at the state level in case ICWA is overturned at the federal level, overturned by the Supreme Court. And, you know, once again, Senator Mary Cornish is leading the charge. We have our wonderful Native caucus there. I'm trying to remember how many it is now, 5 or 6 women strong that are pushing these things. And so it demonstrates the importance of having that place at the table, of being some of our people being willing to go into these really unwelcoming spaces, and then we as a community supporting them. And I think that I'm trying to remember what they call the bill, the Minnesota ICWA bill, but it's I think it only had one dissenting vote in the Senate or something like that, which is amazing, and it really think shows the strength of our Native representation at the Capitol.
Absolutely. And you've probably in all the committees that you are, and we've joked about how many you're in, but you're always teaching. You're always teaching about Native Americans, and people want to know, and people, you know, want to be allies, and they want to do things in a good way. So it's important to be out there like you are.
Thanks. That's very kind, Robert. And I just had a great opportunity this last week. So I serve as an officer of our city, Minneapolis's Convention and Visitors Association, that does destination management. And it's kind of it focuses a lot on downtown, but it's really for the whole city. But it's sort of the downtown people, right? The shakers and movers. And we had our annual meeting last week. And we unveiled our land acknowledgement for the first time, and it's a good one. But my point is always, you know, land acknowledgments, great step, great awareness building, and then what? What's the action? What's the plan? And so I was invited to speak. We opened the event with a song. We had a young Dakota brother, Austin Owen, who honored us with a song. It was wonderful. And then our outgoing chair read the land acknowledgement for the first time in public. And then I was invited to speak, and I was given, three, 4 minutes. And I kept checking with the leadership and everything. I'd be like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And so I really was able to lay it down in an authentic way and just say, you know, talk about everyone's responsibility to do something to address the trauma of colonization, genocide. I got to use, you know, words like genocide at lunchtime, you know, and I thought I was going to be really heavy. I was expecting to hear some gasps in the crowd and stuff. But the response across the board, Native, non-Native, people really appreciated it. And, you know, our theme was shake it up and authentic conversations. And it ended up being just the right way to start the annual meeting and to educate people, right? There are people that don't know anything about that, you know, so
about
history.
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, a lot of organizations are trying, you know, the Cleveland baseball team changed their name. And then with big pressure, the Washington football team changed their name. We have our store, a micro store at the Twins game all season this year. And so, but that's another of a little opening in the crack of the door to have us step through in a good way.
Right. And it's, you know, it's not just happening, you know, accidentally, right? This has been years and years of strategy, of aligning messages, of Native people deliberately reclaiming their narrative. But and I think one of the points I made when I spoke to this annual meeting, it's like 550 influencers from downtown Minneapolis, and was that, you know, Native people know what we want, we can steer our narrative, and then the broader community needs to hear that and act. And I lifted up the name change Epidemic Hoska here in Minneapolis, that was formerly named after a slaveholder, you know, it was kind of odious. And there was a big movement that launched in the Native community, really centered around descendants of the people that used to live on the shores of that lake. But then the broader community heard that and responded and acted. And so the name got changed. It was a multi-year process, but now it's Epidemic Hoska. Everyone knows how to pronounce it.
Right. It took me a little bit. You know, my old junior high here in St. Paul was changed, Robert, to from Ramsey, you know, because we live in Ramsey County, which is the same thing with Calhoun, except I heard it would cost so much to change the name of a county. But they changed the name of my junior high to Hidden River High.
Lovely.
It's amazing. So inch by inch, things are happening and in a good way. And we just got to keep amplifying and speaking up and putting forth the women and our young ones to speak for us, too.
That's it, exactly. A little bit of work, and we've talked about this before, that my organization has been doing is down in the Central Riverfront in the city of Minneapolis. This very desirable little area that helps define Minneapolis. You know, we grew up around the falls that we were, you know, the city was. And of course, there were thousands of years of history there beforehand. And so the leadership of this effort, we're committed to putting this whole project under Native control. Hopefully it'll end up with the land going under Native control. And just in the last few months, there's been a transfer. The organization's board, which was some of the richest people in Minneapolis, is now a majority Native. The new CEO of the organization is Shelley Buck, who is an elected official in the Prairie Island community. She's vice president of the tribe. And she's working right in this place. And so that was our work, was to get it to that point, to set that table. And now we'll see where it goes. Now that really is under Native control.
Great update as always, Robert. Pini Gigi for being on. We'll see you next week, and I'll see you in the community, which is always awesome to see you running around just like I am. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.